Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 16th day of December 2022. And tonight we have a whole lot like we always do. And, of course, we have the Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And we got Ron Ritz right here in the studio.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Texas, we got John McTernan.
Yes, hello, everyone. God bless you, and God bless this show.
Let's get on with it. We got a lot to cover tonight. So we're going to be, John, in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 tonight. And we're going to be reading verses 37 through 43. Ron's going to read 37 through 39. That's Acts chapter 7, 37 through 39. And you'll read 40 through 43. Now, the title of the message was Baal, Moloch, and Woke. Baal, Moloch, and Woke. And to kind of, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. The names have been changed because there was no innocent here. But what you've seen here, Baal was the what was referred to as the God, the potentate. They believed he was the potentate. He would be the equivalent of, say, God the Father. And here, as we see the, or he was referred to as the Master Lord. And here, Ashtaroth was his, considered to be Baal's wife. And Asherah was his mistress. And then, what's all that racket? Hey, John, cut that out.
Yes, Ernie, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're making racket. What's going on?
No, I have trouble with my phone. I'm going to have to call you back.
All righty, try to go ahead. All righty, there you go. And so we're getting.
You were talking about Astra.
Huh?
You were talking about Astra.
Well, Ashtaroth was considered the wife of Baal, okay? Now, you got to bear in mind, these people really didn't. There were people, okay? But they were not gods. They were just people. And going all the way back to the Baal worship, all the way back, even back in the Genesis code, in Sodom and Gomorrah, we'll compare some of these things. And then here, Moloch was considered to be one of the sons of God, along with Ramphium, okay? And Ramphium was also considered to be one of the sons of God. So as we go through this, we'll take a look at it and we'll see how it compares and how it lines right up how the God woke today, this pagan God woke, how it lines right up with Moloch and Baal and all the others. So better wait till John gets back here.
All right.
And before we get into it. Well, we're waiting for John to get back with us. Okay, are you back, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I'm back.
Okay. All righty. I thought you were just making a bunch of noise to be noisy.
No, I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear you, and then all of a sudden I got this, my phone wasn't acting right, and you could hear it not acting right, so that's why I got off and dialed in, and it's okay now.
Maybe, okay, do you think maybe we should take this to prayer right now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's, why don't you lead us in a prayer for that the Lord would keep, because we know the devil's in the details, and he's often in the equipment, too, so go ahead and
yeah, Pastor Ernie, I might as well mention it at this time. A friend of mine was listening last night from Michigan, and she said there was interference on the show last night. You're aware of that?
Yeah, there's always going to be. They're always going to try to do that. And I hear this from the station managers all day long. It'll run perfectly until we come on, and then, that's just the way it is. Because you remember last night, John, when the guy called in and he said, "Well, you can increase your listening audience if you tone down your rhetoric." Now,
yes, I remember that vividly.
You know, so a lot of people missed that, but see, that's what we call seminar, those seminar callers, see? And what a seminar caller will do, they'll often say, I agree with you. The idea is to get you to compromise just a little at a time, to get you to compromise. And over the years, I've had a lot of these. In other words, maybe if you weren't holding to such a high standard, maybe your standard's too high, But if you became just a little bit more into the world, you'd get more listeners. Well, that's what happens, over the years, and ever since we've been doing radio, we've had this. I get letters from these similar callers. Of course, they never give you their home address. They always give you either an estranged address that's not real or none at all. But the idea is to get you to just to water down a little bit what you believe. And this is, then you end up being a neo-evangelical. In other words, a lot of show, no go.
It's interesting, Pastor Ernie, in light of what you said, what I've been told, if I would just not use the King James, I could really, my ministry would, well, double, triple, quadruple and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I'm here to proclaim the truth, not be popular. You know,
well,
proclaim the truth.
Well, you know, a lot of what, today, the idea is to, well, why don't you just go to, well, if you got to use the King James, go to the New King James, okay? But you see, those of us that have studied the Bible and recognize, we know the New King James. What does the Bible say about adding to or taking from?
Well, Revelation chapter 9 is a warning, Pastor Ernie. Revelation chapter 22, rather, there's a warning about God removing a name from the book of life if you take words out of the Bible.
And the Old Testament, there's also another warning. Now, the New King James, John, has removed the word Lord 66 times. It removed the word blood 23 times. It's removed the word damnation entirely. They've taken it entirely out. Now see, the word fornication, it's removed 23 times. Heaven, 50 times. God, 51 times. Repeat, the word repeat is removed 44 times. Hell, 22 times.
Don't they change the name hell to Hades in the new King James?
Yeah, well, sometimes they've just totally removed it, yeah. And so, but a lot of people don't realize these things, but we, those of us that read the Bible every single day and study it, we do, okay?
What's really deadly, too, Pastor Ernie, with the New King James, is the notes, the footnotes. Like, First John 5:7, they say, in the oldest, most accurate, it's not found in the oldest, most accurate manuscripts, which, of course, is a lie.
Yeah.
Because they're oldest, and then that doesn't mean that they're the most accurate. So, yeah, they put a lot of doubt in your mind in addition to removing words like you're showing.
Let's test Ron here to see, because in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, in the Bible, in the King James Bible, it says, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" But in the New King James, it says, "What are these wounds between your arms?" No. Can you tell me the difference, Ron, between the hands and the arms?
Yeah, big difference. Christ was wounded through his hands, not his arms. Is that?
But they've changed. See, some people say, "Well, you know, they the hands attached to the arms. Does it mean that much?"
Yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely does. All righty, so let's get into our scripture.
Good to play, Pastor Ernie.
Pardon? Yeah, let's go ahead and. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you didn't pray. Go ahead and pray.
Right. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the ability to speak the truth in events and in your word, Lord. So the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we ask that tonight all truth will get out, that any interference will be bound, that we're going to be free all throughout the nation to speak your truth. And bless everything we say tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Okay, Ron, go ahead and start in verse 37.
Okay. This is what Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt."
What verse do you want me to stop at, Dr. Ernie?
Go ahead and stop at verse 43.
"Saying unto Moses, make us gods to go before us. For as for Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, he took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephim, figures which ye made to worship, and will carry you away beyond Babylon."
Now here, today, if we take a look, and compare Baal, Moloch, and woke today, the woke movement. Now, if we were to say, now Moloch also and Baal both were gods of child sacrifice, were they not?
Yeah, Moloch was the big one, Pastor Ernie, where they... It was called passing through the fire. They would put the children in one side of like a sacrificial system of molten Moloch. Moloch was on red hot fire, and then the children would burn to death, and then they would go to the other side and take the ashes and the bones out.
And so what happens, the idea was the more pain that the child felt as it went down in the scream, the more pleasure that the parents would receive in sexual pleasure in their orgies. That was the idea. Now, here today, let me ask you, if you were to compare Moloch, what would you say today's Moloch would be? Let me ask you a question.
Planned Parenthood.
Exactly, Planned Parenthood. They take pleasure in dissecting babies alive. They're animals. They've killed more human beings than any. And they've got not even their name is a lie. They're beasts. They're animals there. And so,
Pastor Ernie, in my pro-life, I'm going to say my pro-life life, especially at Planned Parenthood, but really all the abortion centers, the joy that would be on the face of them escorting women to abort their babies, they'd have like a no expression on their face. And then when they were escorting the woman in, you could see the big smiles and the pep in their step. They loved it, Pastor Ernie. They loved to be a part of killing those babies.
And what I noticed, all of those death escorts, and all those times I was out there in those streets for 45 years, all of those death squads, one, the females were all lesbians, and they were all involved in witchcraft. Many of them were actually pastorettes, if you will, of United Church of the Antichrist, okay, or the Pilgrim Church. This is some of the things they all had in common. But they were all lesbians, and for the males were mostly all homosexuals, and they were involved in Satanism. And so,
Pastor Ernie, I could add to that, because I agree with what you said, and in particularly York, Pennsylvania, when I was there, and in fact, you were backing me up there on this radio show, I remember, the leaders of the Atheist Society in Pennsylvania, the president and the vice president, they were at the abortion centers also. And I can vividly remember two people that I preached to there that were so full of demons that they shook like jelly. They actually literally ran from me. Well, one in particular, not the other one. But one of them was out in the street with me, and I was preaching scripture to them, just quoting scripture, and he shook like someone freezing to death, chattering in the cold, and he literally ran from me into the middle of the lot to get away from me, just quoting scriptures. They're full of demons there, Pastor Ernie, at those abortion centers. I mean, up to their eyeballs, full of demons.
When the very first Operation Rescue I led up, we read in there who they had. They had this apostate United Methodist minister of Satan there, you know. And his job was to convince these women that they weren't doing anything wrong, that it wasn't a sin for them to kill their babies, okay? And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I got a hold of him. I preached him heaven sweet. I preached him about hell, fire, and, I told him there's a special hot place in hell for you.
Did he listen or no?
He screamed. He screamed, like John said. He screamed. He said, I can't take it anymore. I just can't. And he said, I'm finished. And he got up and ran away. And so, anyhow, he got heaven sweet. He understood. You see, this guy knew what the Word of God said. He knew he was rebelling, and he knew everything I said was true. And he knew that there was a special hot place in hell. Now he had to either repent or burn. And so, with that, let's take a look at some of the other ways. Now, you know, when you take a look at Moloch and Rampham, Moloch and Rampham were both, Rampham was the Egyptian god. He had the body of a man and the head of a crocodile.
Oh, crocodile.
Right. Now, here.
Moloch was a bull. Wasn't Moloch a bull with the head of a man?
Yeah. I'm talking about Rampham.
Thinking about Moloch with the shape of Moloch.
Yeah. He was a bull with the head of a man. And here you have, when we take a look at this, now let's look how, also, if you go of Baal was the god of confusion. He was the god of confusion. And here, he was the god of sodomy, the god of sodomy. His wife, Ashtaroth, was supposed to be the god of fertility, and his mistress, Asherah, was the goddess of orgies, of sexual perversion, and also of male prostitution. And again, these were not real gods, folks. They made, in those days, they made these idols. Now let me ask you something, how stupid this is. Let's compare stupid then and stupid now. The woke stupid. Let's compare woke stupid with the stupid back then. Here, let me go back and read. Make us gods to go before us, for as for Moses, we brought us out of the land. We know not what happened to him. Now, so here they're telling Aaron to go and make, right in front of them, put together, make something up with your own hands, and we'll make it a god. It'll be a god. Now, what was it that in their mind made the idol, the calf, the golden calf, a god? It was, they believed that their worship, by worshiping this thing, would make it a god. Is that stupid or is that stupid?
Stupid, yeah. Especially after everything God did for them, bringing them out of Egypt, how quickly they could turn.
Right, okay. You see, let me tell you why it's stupid. See, a lot of people don't understand this. They could pray to that golden calf, but that golden calf couldn't hear them. See, it couldn't hear them. Now, they'd have been better off if they would have appointed one of their own, you know, at least they could hear them, right? But that was stupid. And today, tell me some of the woke, the stupid woke today. We've got snowflakes, right? We have people out there today that believe that they can be transhuman. I just saw one. It was on television today. They had him on there. He thinks he's a cat, okay? See, in his mind, he's a cat. You have those...
Pastor Ernie, what about you could be 6'4", a muscular man with a big beard, and because you think you're a woman, therefore you're a woman. How's that?
Well, yeah, that would be equivalent, right, okay? But you see, the thing of it is, there's a little more to that, because all you'd have to do is go and compete in women's sports and you can win a trophy, you know,
or do a lot of damage.
Now, you've got this, and what they're doing, if you're 6'4" and you got a beard, you're... and big muscles, all you got to do is put on a miniskirt and be a drag queen, see? And you say, I'm looking for stupid parents that really don't care much for your children. We're calling you stupid. We're going to have a special event, stupid parents that don't care much for your children. Come on out and let us mentally abuse your children. Let us defile those innocent little children.
And then cheer us on.
Right. And cheer us on. And so... the stupid parents say, well, hey, you know what? I'm a stupid parent. I think I'll do that, okay? I know it because I've been watching it. They've added.
Yeah, the parents are actually worse than the drag queens.
That's right, because they're going to be responsible to Almighty God for what they did to the children.
Yeah.
All right, and so can you imagine standing before Almighty God and him asking you, why did you do that to your children?
Yeah.
And So we look at that today. We look at woke. Now, let me ask you this. And because, again, Moloch also, or Baal was the author of the God of Confusion also. So if we look at woke corporations, Walmart now is having to close a lot of its stores. And Walmart says, you know, we wouldn't have to close our stores if they would quit robbing us, okay?
And they set people up to rob them, actually, the way they're set up.
And so, well, yeah, they gave $300 million to burn, loot, and murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my, Pastor Ernie. Oh,
now,
my.
You know, I if I was a stockholder in Walmart, I think I'd maybe change my mind on that. No. But what got me was when Coca-Cola, when the CEO of Coca-Cola said, that white people need to be less white.
Yeah.
They need to. So I decided, you know what? I don't want to be less white. God made me this way, right? And Coke needs to be less woke, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still contend if you just theoretically half the country is pro-Trump, half the country is against Trump, if just 50% of the country stopped buying these crap products, if they stopped watching these games, if they stopped supporting these Hollywood movies, they would shut everything down. But everybody is just too apathetic, too lazy to entertain themselves.
Well, you're right. They are too apathetic. They want it, and they're paying the price. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Understand the lyrics in that song?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, let's throw it to Big John and see if he got it. Hey, Big John, do you understand the lyrics of that song?
Kinda.
All right. That was The Christmas We Couldn't Afford, and that was the Danny Ray Singers. And in other words, they were crying because they couldn't afford a Christmas.
That was a woo-hoo-hoo?
A woo-hoo-hoo, okay. Yeah. Okay. Woo-hoo-hoo. And so, but they had a good time singing.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, if you can't afford something, okay. Gee, Elvis said the man that can sing when he doesn't got a thing, he's a king of the whole wide world, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know what? We got to get into some articles. Before we go farther, though, I got to tell you this. This coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, people keep asking me, what are you doing this Sunday? Well, this Sunday, we like normal, we have our Bible study starts at 8:30 in the morning. At 11:30, the regular service. And then afterwards, we're having our Christmas dinner. Are you cooking?
Barb is?
Yeah.
Right. I'm just delivering
okay.
It.
And so we're having, the church's having its Christmas dinner. And then afterwards, at 4 o'clock, they're going to show the nativity scene, movie. And I understand it's a really good one, nativity movie, one of the best, they said. And so, and then at 6 o'clock, we have our evening service. But next week is Christmas Day. Did you know that? Next
yes,
Sunday?
Sunday.
And so we're only going to have a morning service. And do you know why?
So we're going to spend time with the family.
Right. That's what family's supposed to do, huh?
Yes.
Okay. And so what do you think of all that, John?
I think it's wonderful, Pastor Ernie. The structure of society is really the family unit. And that is beyond a doubt the target of the woke, as we've been talking about. They want the literal destruction of the family unit.
That's why this ministry, right? That's why this ministry and Doers of the Word Church, we put a lot of emphasis on a strong family, don't we?
Yes.
And that's why we like homeschooling so much, too. And I'm a very strong advocate of homeschooling. But did you know this? Feds, John, feds in the shadows. Leaked documents indicate over 300 members of the Oath Keepers are former DHS, Department of Homeland Security employees. Now, but there's not clear of how many of them are actually federal operatives. And so, you know, the Oath Keepers, I've gone and I've spoken. The Oath Keepers were launched in 2009. From the start, they tried to recruit former military and law enforcement, and with the ostensible goal of upholding the Constitution and having its members refuse unlawful orders. Do you know what that sounds like? Do you know where that comes from? It comes from right from God's Word, the Bible. It's called what? The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, huh? And so, here. Now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that the Southern Poverty Law Center, folks, was run by perverts, all right?
Yeah, racist, too.
Well, racist and perverts, but not only that, they were charged someone with pedophilia, which labels any constitutional group or Christian group as an extremist group.
Yeah, terrorist group.
And terrorist group, you're right. So that has meant, as on January 6th, rejecting the rule of law, court orders, and democratic process that thwart for far-right policy goals in favor of conspiracy theories and armed resistance. One of the biggest lies, one of the biggest lies, one of the hugest lies told out there today by the FBI and the Department of so-called, When you think of that Department of Justice, it is so unjust.
Yeah, so it's so far gone at this point.
But one of the biggest lies they're telling is that Christian organizations, conservative organizations like the Oath Keepers, like the John Birch Society, like Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, or the Pro-Life Movement, that we are terrorists. That is a lie told by professional liars. That is a lie told by Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is a professional liar. This guy, we have caught him in so many lies, and Christopher Wray, and Sue. And Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray, here's what we're telling you this. Listen, You know this. Every pastor in this country who's real should tell you to repent or perish. The Bible says repent or perish. You have an opportunity to come forward, okay, and try to, and regain some kind of integrity if you'll just admit what you've done wrong. John, is there any other remedy for sin other than repentance?
Well, yeah, repentance and turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. But there is no other way, Pastor Ernie, under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. No other way.
Am I a very, very mean old pastor for calling those guys out on the radio, telling them they need to repent or perish?
No, I think you're a very loving, kind, gentle, sweet, tender pastor for doing that.
Because that's what you get from the prissy preachers, okay? That you shouldn't do that. That's name-calling. Is that name-calling, John?
Well, right. Pastor Ernie, I got a question for you. I'm going to answer your question with a question.
All righty. Jesus did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
If Jesus was so tender and sweet and never said anything offensive, why did they put him on the cross?
Well, you know, this is exactly what I actually had a chaplain one day tell me, and this was while George Bush was the president of the United States, that if Jesus was right here today, he would obey George Bush. Yeah.
Well, the woke people, Pastor Ernie, said if Jesus was here today, he'd actually be leading these sodomite parades in our cities.
Yeah, I know. I heard some of that. I heard some of the other.
Their blasphemy, Pastor Ernie, is I don't know how much more the Lord will allow it to go. I mean, he's God and he knows what the limit is, but what they're doing today is it is a real, real mockery. It's mocking God and openly. So that's about as serious as you can get, making statements like that.
Well, you know, all of the signs are out there. You'd have to be blind not to see them, that our Lord's going to return soon. You're right. We're right at, remember what he said, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? As in the days of the flood, remember? As in the days of the flood. Everything is happening. We're seeing it all taking place today, okay? And so, I mean, how much worse can it get? You wonder, well, it actually can get worse. Remember when Bill Gates, because you and I keep bringing this up, but when Bill Gates, when he smirked about 3 weeks before the midterms, and he said, there's not going to be a red wave. In other words, he was showing his confidence to his people that the fix is in, it's taken care of, it's going to work. And he said, the election will come out a draw. And then he said, and there may be, with that little smirk, a civil war. And this is what they've been pushing for, okay? Now, here's the problem that I think they have here in America. You've got a couple hundred million armed Americans. And there's an estimation, John, that in America, there's an estimated 10 million Americans who will fight to the death before they'll give up their freedom. And so that is one of their major problems. They've tried to get the guns away from us, but they haven't been able to do that. And so what do you think of that, Ron?
I'm actually surprised that Obama in his second term got everything accomplished that set out to do, you know, turn the Middle East into the Muslim Brotherhood, destroy pretty much the families, destroy the economy. But for some reason, he was unable to get the guns taken away even after a couple of incidents.
Even with all the help he had from the rhinos, huh?
Yeah, I was really surprised with that.
Well, can I just jump in here real quickly?
That's why you're here.
All right. Well, I didn't want to cut him off. I wanted to add to what he was saying. Pastor Ernie, did you notice, I'm sure you've noticed, how when they're hot on and heavy on getting the guns, that all of a sudden there is a spat in these mass killings, these mass shootings. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not making this up. I mean, all of a sudden they're talking about legislation for gun control, and someone goes into a movie theater and shoots it up and kills all these people. Then the Democrats immediately come out with this legislation, and they use this as an example. But this has happened like time and time again, where all of a sudden when they're talking about gun legislation, there is a one or two or three mass killings.
John, you're not supposed to know that. You know, these people work hard. They get up every day and say, how can we fool them today? And then
I learned it on this show, Pastor Ernie. That's where I learned that connection, on this show.
Yeah. We've been out there, out front, trying to tell people all along, all of this stuff. It's just amazing. So, now I'm just wondering, you know, Biden's trying to get us into a war. We know that.
Okay? Yeah, especially with the missiles now.
Here, people are really getting fed up, and he wants to keep the borders open. He wants to bring as many drug dealers, as much fentanyl. See, fentanyl is killing people. It's really killing a lot of people, especially the young. And then his owners there in China, the Chinese Communist Party, as they because he's in debt up to his eyeballs to them. They've given him so much money, they own him, right? And they're telling him, keep those borders open, and this is the way we depopulate America without firing a shot. Okay?
Yeah, it's like the opium wars, but the difference is, when the British were bringing in the opium, the Chinese were fighting it tooth and nail. We're actually bringing it in willingly. It's criminal.
Yeah, well, then you have, at the same time, remember the gods they worship. Listen, Joe Biden is a Satanist to the hilt. So is Nancy Pelosi. People aren't going to say this. They're not going to admit it, okay? But their god is Satan to the hilt. Everything that they believe in, God's word the Bible calls sin. And so, both in that, you know, and Joe Biden, according to his own daughter, but, you know, what we've seen, right? I mean, how many times have you seen it? He was trying to smell the hair of a drag queen, okay? So how many times have you seen him, but his own daughter has come out and said, and how he's a pedophile?
Yeah, he used to shower with her.
And so, here now, but he promotes sodomy. He promotes sodomy. Everything is now, again, God's word, the Bible. John, tell us what the Bible has said about sodomy, about sodomites.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Pastor Ernie, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, and of course it's not limited to sodomy, but those that practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, so now the first time it was used in Leviticus, the very first time that word was used, sodomite, it was called an abomination. That's the first time the word abomination was used, okay, for the sodomites. Now, what was those that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, what were they called?
Sodomites.
Sodomites, yeah. Exactly right. Now, how did God deal with those in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Fire and brimstone.
Okay. Now, here, when... yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to add... there's two verses, but I want to add one verse to where you're going on this for our listeners. This is from the book of Jude. And it's talking about judgment on nations. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Now that fornication there includes homosexuality. And going after strange flesh, there was perversion there, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So any nation that goes down the road of Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah is the example of what happens to that nation, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Okay, now, John, see, because people out there listening to us right now, even like the seminar callers and some of the letters I will get, will say that what we're saying this because we hate Sodomites and we want to see them burn in hell. Do you hate Sodomites, John?
No, Pastor Ernie. Jesus died on the cross so that they could have eternal life, but they can't have eternal life with their sin. It's just like, Pastor Ernie, someone that was heterosexual and was involved in wanton fornication like that, I would say the same thing. You know, okay. Anyone that's deep into sin. I mean, it's sodomy is not a special sin that's protected, Pastor Ernie. It is a sin like all other sins that need repentance and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Well, you're absolutely right. Fornication and adultery are sins now. But why is it that we kind of speak out or preach out more against the sin of sodomy right now today than we do even against the sins of fornication and adultery? And let me, before you answer that, let me ask you this. Now, if you love someone, are you going to tell them what they need to hear? Are you going to tell the sodomite they need to repent or burn? Or if you hate them, are you going to allow them to say, you know, go ahead and encourage them to continue?
I remember this was about, I'd say, 7-8 years ago, but Franklin Graham, they tried to corner him on TV, do you hate sodomites? He says, no, I actually love them so much that I'll tell them that if they don't change their ways and repent, they're going to spend a lifetime of eternal hell, damnation. So it's really that simple. They for some reason, when we speak out against them, they think it's hate, but it isn't.
Well, it's because the answer to that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right? Starting with verse 4, and you know, that tells you why that is. But so we're telling them what they need to hear to try to get them to repent and avoid that lake of fire. But the opposite, the mainstream news media and those that condone those people like Joe Biden and Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi that condone that horrible sin and support them in their sin, do they love the sodomites or do they really hate them?
They're writing their ticket to the gates of hell is what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, so, Pastor Ernie, you brought up a question that I want to answer for you. And why do we talk about it? Now, we're talking about it today and probably last Friday when I was on the show and the Friday before that. The reason we're doing it, and back in when I first came to the Lord in 1974, that's when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ, there was no mention of really homosexuality or sodomy or anything like that, Pastor Ernie. That wasn't like being discussed. But it progressed to become like legal and they want to make it marriage and they want to indoctrinate our children into it. And they want us to use their pronouns and their expressions rather than what the truth is. So they're bringing it to us. That's why we're talking to this about this, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
We're not zeroing on this because they're homosexuals. We're zeroing in on it because of what they're doing with their sin, promoting it, and doing things like trying to say homosexual marriage when it's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. It never existed in history. It's all made up. A marriage, even if you go to communist China, where there's, we're going to say they suppress all religion there, even they have marriage. They recognize marriage between a man and a woman. So this is all made up. I guess you got to go back to the days of Noah to have a situation like we're facing now, where homosexuality is they're recognizing as a marriage, and you're a bigot if you don't go along with it.
And so the reason that we're on this is because you don't see, now today I didn't see any programs or any on the news where anybody was promoting adultery. Now we do see that as far as fornication, we do see a lot of that in the movies and these college kids and that, but especially these young people. But every day you see on Fox News too, LGBTQ, it's on the news, you see drag queens. Drag queens are sodomites. Drag queens are always, and they're pedophiles, right? And they're pushing that in the libraries. Now, the woke movement, the public school system, the public library system out there, they promote this sin, what the Bible calls an abominable thing, an unclean thing, as not only acceptable but preferable. And out of this thing, you get mixed in there today with all of these trans things, these transgenders, transhuman, all of this stuff. And so the reason we're hitting on it so hard is because that's what's out there. They're going after the children. They're going after the children.
They're bringing it to the forefront.
Right, absolutely. Yeah,
they're bringing it to us. They're bringing their sin to us. We're not going after them. They are going after us. So they've taken the fight to us, and we're reacting to it.
And you've got those two drag queens, Austin and Millie. Austin are trying to push drag queens on our military. They're trying to push that on all of our military.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to bring something to your attention if you're not aware of it. So this is a good time to do it. The headline says, Christian teacher says Ohio school district forced her out when she refused to endorse gender transition. So it took place in Massillon, Jackson Memorial Middle School in Massillon, Ohio. How far is that from you, Pastor?
Not far at all. Yeah. What, about an hour? Not even an hour?
Not even an hour, yeah.
Yeah, it's not even an hour drive.
That's in your kind of backyard there, and you may want to line up to protect or stand with this teacher if she's being attacked for standing up for, male, female.
Well, I have to get in touch with her. I need more about it. I don't have the article. I don't know why I don't, because I haven't heard a thing.
We could find out, yeah.
Because, it hasn't been on any of the news that I've seen here.
Yeah, I can send it to you. I picked it up just before the show, and it says Vivian Garrity taught English at Jackson Memorial Middle School in Massillon until she was forced to quit because she wouldn't speak to students in a way that would violate her sincere held religious beliefs. Garrity holds the view that a person is male or female on biological facts, not personal identity. So for that reason, she was told that she was harmful, untrue, and harmful to students. So they forced her out of the school.
John, I can prove right here with the ultimate truth, the Word of God, that those people that are bringing those charges that dismissed her are fools. Right here, I can prove with the Word of God that those people that dismissed her for that are fools. There you go. I mean, it's cut and dry. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, boy, we're going to have to do some lightning rounds. We got a whole lot of information we need to get out of here tonight. So, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of articles.
Yeah, all righty. One of them is a must-read, false flag, Fedsurrection. Oh, got to tell you about this, what's happening out there in Brazil. Be right back. Don't go away.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. The word Cleveland whatsrightwhatsleftministries.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.